I'm going to begin reading from Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we do ask that you would guide and direct through this message. And Father, that you would use this time to encourage each and every believer today. Let us wait upon the Lord, we ask, O God, and find in you a refuge, a strength, a help, and renewed energy to go on and to serve you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes life gets overwhelmed with burdens, struggles, challenges. Just the weight of life can sometimes seem overwhelming. Right now, over this last year and beyond, we have been living in the midst of what I would call a political coup of both our state and our nation, a major attack to override our constitutional rights and override what America was intended to be. And this has been some challenging years that we've been living in. But not only that, then this last year, we've had to endure what is perceived as a pandemic with the Wuhan virus and all of the challenges with that. And unfortunately, suicides have gone up. And even among youth and young people, this has just been a horrific year that we have experienced with that. But you take those two issues, and those are two very big issues that we deal with and have been dealing with in our life. But life itself, you take those two aside, life in and of itself is full of challenges. It may be with personal relationships that you've had to deal with, that whether in the family or beyond the family, of relationships that have been challenged. It can be finances. There are always those who are struggling financially and they've had issues come into their life unexpected and their finances become a great trial of faith and a trial of life and can become overwhelming. Illness. Beyond COVID, there's a host of other illnesses that people have had to deal with even before COVID and before the last 5 to 10 years that we've been experiencing what's going on politically. People have had to deal with cancer and other fatal diseases or diseases they've had to live with and mitigate and deal with over and over again. And for some, it's been years they've been dealing with it. And so, yes, a lot of people have been dealing with some challenges in life. Now, this week, we can add to that what we think is going to be a crippling snowstorm. The news media has been hyperventilating over this for the last week. And we thought it was going to come in yesterday. In fact, early, I wondered what would happen Thursday night if we would have a snowstorm, and then Friday, and there was nothing. And here we are. I woke up Saturday morning. That's when we're recording this, is Saturday morning. I woke up Saturday morning and looked out, and I don't know if I was disappointed, but it's no snow, no sprinkles. Everything's dry. And so even as we're recording this just before noon on Saturday morning, we still have no snow on the ground. However, according to their predictions, we could have a major pile of this come Sunday morning. And that can be a challenge with what everybody wants to do. And the damage, they talked about the snow damage, what was it back in 13 or 3, whenever that last big snowstorm hit and had roofs collapse and trees damaged and all of the damage that took place, we could be experiencing that over the next few days. This has been a toughie to know how to plan and schedule. And so we have recorded this to be ready for whatever comes. Now here's a passage given to the weary. It is given to the discouraged. And to those that might be in despair of life. And it is a passage to encourage us on how to have renewed strength for whatever we're facing in life. And there's no exception that this will not help for the believer. And now, let me say this. If you do not know for certain of Jesus Christ as your Savior, these things that I'm talking about this morning are not conditional promises for you as an unbeliever. Let me tell you of an unconditional promise by God. And that unconditional promise is, well, I guess you could say it's conditional. If you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, ye can be born again. And then when you're born again, you can claim these great promises and blessings for your very own. And as a believer in Christ, I cannot understand why anyone would not want to put their faith in Jesus Christ. It has been such a wonderful life, and the fullness and the hope that is set before us. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you right now to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't understand and you want more understanding, contact us here at the church. Let us help you. We want you to be saved and become a child of God. But here's a promise about renewable. There's an awful lot that's being said about renewable energy. Here's the spiritual renewable energy passage. And so we're all about renewable energy, but this is in the spiritual renewable energy that we're talking about. Now do understand, Isaiah lived and ministered during the time of the failure and the fall and the collapse of Judah. He understood a lot of what we're experiencing today, and maybe even in a greater degree, in a more unique degree, because Israel was a covenant nation with God. America is not Israel, and America is not a covenant nation with God like Israel was. However, God has promised to bless any nation that would walk after Him and honor Him and rule in righteousness. But when a nation turns away from God, they lose God's hand and God's protection. But Isaiah was an eyewitness to their spiritual decline and to the corruption that was advancing in that nation. Somebody made this statement, and let me quote it. The cleaner the heart is before God, the clearer the eyes are about man. Let me repeat that, because this is a great truth. The cleaner the heart is before God, the clearer the eyes are about man. And Isaiah saw the problems with his nation and had a very clear vision as to what was going on. Up to this point, he had given 39 chapters of God's plan for judgment. And this deals with the wrath of God. Folks, nobody wants to hear about the wrath of God. They didn't want to hear about the wrath of God in their day. They would try to silence the prophets. They would try to silence the preachers. Nobody wants to hear, oh, we need a gentler, softer message. You sound so unkind and unloving. Folks, if a rattlesnake is about to bite and you reach out and yell and grab that child and pull them away from the rattlesnake, is that unkind and unloving? That's the most loving and kind thing you can do to preserve their life. But nobody wanted to hear about that. 39 chapters. Now in chapter 40, he speaks of comfort and hope such that their strength can be renewed by their faith in God. And that's the only place that we can have our faith renewed is in the Lord our God. Now this marvelous passage has a conditional promise to the child of God. Out of all of that, 39 chapters. That's a lot of chapters that's dealing with judgment. Sometimes as I read through the Old Testament and the prophets, and even in the historical books, it can, I'm not sure how to say this, but it can almost become a little depressing because you see how they do wrong and they do wrong and they reject God and God says, I'm going to judge you. But sprinkled in there, God has given them hope and given them the strength that they need. And this is one of those passages that God gives a promise to the child of God. And it parallels what we have in the New Testament in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so as he was speaking to the children of Israel, and now he's focusing on the righteous remnant that was within that nation. And even as Judah fell, there was a righteous remnant. They were a very small portion. They did not have the influence or the governing control of the nation to direct it in a right way, but they still existed in that corrupt nation. And they were not forgotten by God. In fact, they were ministered to by God and strengthened and encouraged by God during this time. Judah had sinned, God had judged, and now healing and comfort was offered. When a nation as a whole turns from God, as I said, it will face the wrath of God and his removal of protection and blessing on that. But as I said, there usually is a remnant of godly people. And that group of people suffers uniquely when a nation like that fails. But don't forget, the work of God's grace is now highlighted, especially to the righteous. Now, not only God's saving grace, so many times when we talk about grace, we think of saving grace. And saving grace, grace means unmerited favor, giving to us what we don't deserve. That's God's grace. But he gives us unmerited favor. There's saving grace. And when each one of us, when we realize that we had sinned against God and that we deserved his wrath and we deserved his punishment, and then we understand that like Romans 5:8 said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, we understood that Jesus Christ paid our sin penalty in full and then offered it to us through repentance and faith. And we did that. And we know that the Bible said, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what we did. That's saving grace. But God also provides sustaining grace. And that's where God upholds us, encourages, strengthens us, enables us to live for his glory, regardless of the circumstances that we must face within our life. That's God's sustaining grace. And since we call it grace, do understand this. We don't deserve that strength either. We don't deserve his sustaining, sustainability is a big word with the climate change, and quite frankly, that's all about communism, but sustainability is one of their big words. They robbed it from us because God provides everything sustainable for you and me. He gives sustainable grace that never will exhaust. So when times, life's trials can become overwhelming to the child of God, God is there to help us. We are reminded that whatever the trials are, they will never overwhelm the God of the child of God. While they may overwhelm us, they will never overwhelm our God. Now, let's go back and look at verse 28. And here we have two questions that are given. And let me start with that first one. Hast thou not known? In other words, have you not known this? And in many ways, I believe it's a rhetorical question that the answer would be, yes, we did know. This is not so much an inquisition as to if you know it or not, but to remind us of what we know. So many times the great challenges in our Christian life is not about what we don't know from God's Word, it's what we know about God's Word and neglect in our life. Now here's something, he says, hast thou not known? And for you and I, for most of us that are around God's Word here together right now, here's some truths that you and I have known, but somehow it got put on the shelf and we forgot about it. Or it didn't become as real as it needed to be in our lives and in our hearts, and we become sidetracked in the issues of life. And so understand that our God is not overwhelmed. We get too busy and we try serving God sometimes in our own strength and in our own abilities. And that just doesn't work. But let me say this also. You and I can be busy serving God in God's strength. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we can become exhausted. And we can become weary. I think sometimes, and as I looked at my notes, I have preached from this in years gone by. I've been preaching for nearly 40 years. And I looked back at all of my notes, and in some of my older notes on this passage, it seemed to me like I only focused on those that were strictly trying to do things in their own strength and in their own power. But the thought hit me, many times we do try to serve God in His strength and in His power. And even with that, remember, we're human. We're mortal. And we get tired and we get weary. So whether, regardless of which way you're trying to serve God, this is a need that you and I face. We will get weary. We may faint. We simply can't handle all of life's trials alone. And even when we're doing it in the strength of God, sometimes we just need renewed strength. Talking about not being able to handle everything, just a few years ago, I went with some of our men in church and another church, and we climbed one of the mountains. It was a 14er here in Colorado. I believe it was Mount Elbert. Normally I do fairly well, but I believe I was dealing with a knee injury at the time. And we were climbing up that mountain, and the word faint means to give up or to quit or to stop. And I was determined I was going to get to the top. But when I got about so high and I was close, probably within an hour of the top, I knew I had to quit. I probably could have made it to the top, but there were some issues that we were dealing with. I think we had a storm that was starting to move in, and I didn't want to be up in that higher part when the lightning started happening. I also knew that coming down was harder on my knee than going up. And so with those things, I thought it'd probably be wise if I just quit. Now, the other issue was my wife wants to meet all of the needs. She has a tremendous heart and a tremendous love and a tremendous care. And she wanted to make sure that I had everything I needed to get to the top and to the back. And so by the time she had all of that in my backpack, I think it weighed about 300 pounds. Well, that's probably exaggerating a little bit. But I did have everything I needed. And you know, sometimes that's our life. We try to carry too much of burdens that we ought not to be carrying. But with all of that, I had to quit. I couldn't make it. My intentions were good. I wanted to go and all of that, but wisdom and the body just wouldn't let me go any further. I was absolutely exhausted. You know, when we're serving the Lord, sometimes we get absolutely physically exhausted to where we cannot go any further. And that's what we're talking about when we become weary. Weary, and on a spiritual level, we can become weary physically. And when our body is weary and exhausted physically, it impacts every other aspect of who we are, emotionally, mentally, and sometimes spiritually. And so whether we are weary physically, we can become weary emotionally. We deal with these things that attack our emotions day in and day out and day in and day out. We can become weary mentally, where we've had to deal with so much socially, spiritually, and we become exactly and completely exhausted and then faint, ready to give up and ready to quit. And that's what it is talking about. And it is coming to each of us that when we come to that point, how do we renew our spiritual energy and our spiritual strength? And we come to the Lord. Now, the next thing is, who gets weary and faint? If you will notice, in verse 30, it says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." You see, if the youth who is the most vigorous and suited to endure, that may be the strong Christians, if in the midst of all of their vigor and strength, if they become weary and risk fainting, or the young men, this is the chosen and the trained who can handle the hardships, if even these can become weary to the point of fainting, well, I suppose I would fit in that class as well. Not necessarily the young or the young men, but vulnerable to fainting and becoming very weary. And so with that, here's where we need to understand we have the marvelous sustaining grace of God that reaches us. It lifts us out of the miry clay of tribulations and hardships and sets us upon a rock that is secure. It is His sustaining grace that pulls us out of the tempestuous storm of life and holds us in the hollow of His hand and hides us in the safety of the cleft of the rock. This is the promises for the righteous. This is our heritage. This is what we have. I was chatting with a gentleman just this week on another particular issue, and he spoke of his German heritage, and I come back and I asked him about that, and boy, he just was talking all about it and going back generations and talking about the inner activity with others through social media and stuff that talk about his German heritage. And I thought, wow, he's sure been studying all of that, and he knows an awful lot of that. Folks, we as Christians, now, there's nothing wrong with that heritage. It's no doubt a great heritage. But here we have a greater heritage as believers in Christ. This is our heritage. This is our God. This is our life. Now, here is what we forget, and that is the miraculous power of our God. It raises the question, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? And unfortunately, we neglect. We need to be reminded. In verse 30, we are reminded who? That even the strongest of the strong can become weary and faint. So here we come to this one that says, gives us one thing to remember as we go into this, that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth. This speaks of His miraculous power. Now you and I, we believe that God created all things and everything in 6 24-hour days. He just spoke it into existence. He has that kind of power. And many times, the Bible will bring a reference back to the power of God in creation to remind us that it is this same God with the same power who can help us in our life. Is anything too hard? No. Sometimes we think the issues are too complicated or too hard, or somehow God won't deal with it. But this is a reminder of just how marvelous and miraculous the power of our God really is. Let us not forget that. He rested after 7 days, not because he was weary, but because he was done. It was finished. Here we have the unwearied and the unweariable God that meets weary man. 2 Corinthians 12:9 said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." As I was rereading over this morning, as I was finishing my preparation for preaching, there's a part of this verse that stood out and kicked me in the shin that I've just never recognized or thought of before. Now, the truth hasn't changed, but let me ask you this. When is the last time you gloried in your infirmities? Wow. I asked myself that question. I read through this. Let me read this verse again. And now you stop and think about this. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for me. Now do understand in the context, Paul was dealing with some issues that he asked God to remove out of his life. And God said, no. And then God said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking God to remove, whether it be infirmities or certain issues in life or hardships or whatever it is out of life. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And if it happens to be a medical issue, there's nothing wrong with seeking medical answers to be able to find a remedy. But if there comes a point where God says, no, this is going to be part of your life, and my grace is sufficient for it. Now the next question is, wow, will I glory in that infirmity? That the power of Christ may rest in me. I don't know that I have had really that tough of life. Oh, we've dealt with some tough issues. We've dealt with some heartache. We've dealt with some real struggles. But compared to what some people deal with, so many times I just think, I've just had a wonderful life. But even in the issues and whatever infirmities, now one of the things I deal with is allergies. And it's about that time they're going to start kicking up and going. I've never gloried in my allergies. And you know, this may be a little bit of reprimand to me, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now let's focus upon God's remedy for the renewable spiritual energy for renewed strength. First, there is a conditional threefold promise that he gives. This is a conditional. They that wait, and it's if you'll wait. Now, if you don't wait, this promise isn't good for you. You would do well to do a personal study of the difference between conditional promises in the Bible. If you do this, then God will do this. And then also examine unconditional promises that God has made in the Bible. And that means regardless of what you and I do, God's going to do this. And here is a conditional promise that demands action of some level by you and I to experience the blessing or the promise that is given. The word wait means to long for. Look forward with confident expectation. It also has to deal with doing what God has told you to do now until further enlightenment according to God's word. And so if this is what God wants you to do, and he may have something different for you down the road, in the meantime, while you're waiting for whatever is different down the road, just wait patiently or be busy right now serving God in God's will and God's way and knowing that God will bring whatever is the next step in his own timing and do so with a confident expectation. Turn to Psalm 40. Here's two or three passages that reiterate these great truths. Psalm 40, and beginning with verse 1, David, the psalmist, writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord." There's that term, waiting. "And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Also, turn back to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Another psalm of David. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Here's a psalm that's been put to music, beautiful music. "O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yet let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Remember, and I'll just stop with that. But here we see how God has worked in marvelous ways for those that wait upon him in a biblical way. If you want God's blessing tomorrow, then you must obey in his strength today. That, I believe, is a great truth. It is in the midst of this kind of waiting wherein he renews our strength. Now I say a great Christian myth, and I don't know, it's not great in how good it is, it's great in how widespread it is. But you'll find this many times. When trying to obey God, whether it be in our own strength or in God's strength, our wisdom or God's wisdom, and we become weary and ready to faint or ready to quit, somehow we begin thinking if we step out of God's revealed will, we will somehow have greater strength, greater wisdom, greater joy, and greater peace. That's a great myth. Now let me say this again. Many times Christians who have been serving God, and I think this can happen in both cases, those who try to serve God in their own strength and in their own power and in their own wisdom, and I think it can also happen to those who are trying to serve God in a right way, in God's power and in God's wisdom and in God's strength, and we become so weary and so tired, we are at that point to where we're ready to faint or to quit. And somehow we begin thinking that if we quit, that we will have greater joy, greater power, greater strength, and a greater life. That is not the solution. The real remedy is not to quit doing right, but to turn to the Lord our God for renewed strength, energy, and wisdom. You will never win that battle if you struggle doing God's will in your own strength and in your own wisdom, and then you quit thinking God will give you more. But if those who will wait in the will of God, they will reap this threefold promise and blessing. First, he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, here is a tremendous thing. I would liken this to that inner peace with confidence. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The inner man, the spirit of man, this may be emotional. that gives us the emotional strength to keep on keeping on. It is the emotional fortitude that he will not allow any trial too big for us to handle through his strength. A very familiar passage that I hope you have memorized and you refer to often in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Remember this great promise. You need to know it. It needs to be a part of your life because you will need it multiple times in your life. It says, there hath no temptation, and the word temptation can deal with temptation to sin, test, or trial, has taken you, but such as is common to man. You're not the first person to experience this. You're not the only person to have experienced this. Many times when we face a trial, and I know for myself, I'll think I'm the only one that has ever had to deal with this. I'm the first one that has ever had to deal with this. And why me? And I need to remember, I'm not the first and I'm not the only. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. No matter whatever the trial, the adversity, the affliction, or whatever it is, God will not allow you to be tested or endured above that ye are able to bear. And when I talk about able to bear, I'm talking about the power that he will give you to bear it and live with it and deal with it. And when it hits that point that it would become too much, God always gives a way to escape. Never forget that. Emotional fortitude, the confidence that I can glorify him through this trial. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, it says that everything may redound to God's glory. There's nothing coming into your life but what you can turn it into an opportunity to glorify our God. The emotional fortitude in that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The second part of that promise and blessing is, it says that we can run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. To me, this speaks of the divine willpower to stay the course. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasures. And here, the mental strength and the mental fortitude. And understand that our mental capacity is keenly tied to our emotional ability and condition. And when one begins to fail or weaken, it will fail or weaken the other. And when one is strengthened, it will strengthen the other. And so understand that God can strengthen us and give us what we need to run and not be weary. I will not become weary of doing right. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I will not become weary in doing right because God will sustain me. And so mentally I can have the fortitude because I know God will sustain me to keep me going. Promise number three is walk and not faint. I would liken this to physical strength. To me, this says life may get hard, very hard, but God can sustain me and I don't have to quit. William Carey said, I can plod. This is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. This I owe everything. You know, I can probably identify with William Carey about as much as any of the missionaries, because that seems to be my kind of ministry, is just plodding along, doing right today, doing right tomorrow, doing right the next day, just plodding along, persevering in doing right. Paul was beaten and thrown in jail, but he didn't quit on God. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for doing right, but he didn't quit on God. Even Stephen was in the process of being stoned to death for preaching the truth. He didn't quit on God until his last breath, because as they were killing him with stones, he was interceding for the lost. My friend, have you not known, have you not heard? In other words, let's remember this. The unwearied God, the unweariable God, has reached out to the weary man and promised this. If you will wait upon the Lord, then you too can mount up with wings as eagles to be strengthened in your spirit. You can run and not be weary. That is the mental strength for the trials of life. And walk and not faint, the physical strength to keep on keeping on. J. Sidlow Baxter said, "We must learn to see the opportunity in every difficulty, not the difficulty in every opportunity." And that's how we must view the issues of life. This is the opportunity to glorify our Lord in every difficulty that we face or that we experience. Let me encourage you, while you may be snowed in today as you're watching this, make this a time of spiritual rest and spiritual renewal. Renew your strength in the Lord. Do understand, whether you have served God in your own strength or even in the Lord's strength, whether you have tried to do so in your own wisdom or in God's wisdom, you and I are still human. We get weary. We get tired to the point of wanting to faint. And we need to be renewed in the strength of the Lord our God. Folks, as believers in Christ, we have access to an inexhaustible supply of renewable energy, spiritually speaking, and that is in the Lord our God. Wait upon the Lord, and then run without becoming weary, and walk without fainting. Our God is so good. Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you that I have the privilege of declaring these great truths from your word to encourage your children. And Father, you know who needs us the most today. You know who may be struggling and maybe at the point of fainting right now, spiritually speaking. God, I plead and I beg that you would take this message, take this passage of Scripture. Let them read it over and over. Let them find renewed strength in the Lord. Let them be faithful with the condition of waiting and faithfully doing God's will while waiting for His answers. And then let them experience the threefold promises that you have given. And then, Father, I pray that you would use them in a marvelous way to glorify you and to reach others with the gospel message. Father, we just want to see souls saved too. Use us through all of this. We give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.